You are listening to CORE, powered by and for the Holt family of companies. Let's dig in.
What better way to kick off the holiday season than settling the rumors floating around the company? I'm your host, Peyton, and today is November 30th, 2023, and this is episode 5 of CORE. Wow, it is crazy to think that this was just an idea last March, and now we have 20 full-length and micro episodes. Ken, welcome onto the show. What do you think about the podcast so far? And you can be honest, I can take it.
Peyton, I'm a faithful listener. The moment it comes out, I am on it listening to it. So they've been great. Thanks for putting on these great shows.
Awesome. So this episode is focused on loyalty, honesty, and integrity. And it's going to allow us to have some open conversation about some of the rumors that are going on around the company. When you get into a larger company, a large game of telephone is kind of inevitable. This has caused lots of rumors to surface and circulate over the years. So in attempt to get everyone kind of on the same page, we asked you all listeners to submit rumors that you've heard in the company for Ken to address and to put to rest once and for all. Also note that this is the first time that Ken is hearing the submitted rumors. We've had over 30 rumors submitted, and some of them are very similar. So we're going to try and condense them so that he can address them all together. So let's get right into it. First off, it seems like since the dawn of time, people seem to think that there's a threat of being bought out or by us buying out other dealers. Some basic context may help our listeners. So Ken, feel free to jump in here with your valuable knowledge. So Caterpillar equipment is sold by dealers around the world. Each dealer is designated a territory to sell equipment. A dealership can only sell within their territory. The dealership system works very similarly to some of our other brands like Trimble, AGCO, Claas, and Kubota. Is there anything else super high level that you want to add?
We are an independently owned company that is a dealership for Caterpillar. So we are responsible for our territory, for performing to our territory, and meeting the expectations that Cat has to keep us as a Caterpillar dealer. And that really revolves around our market share, our profitability, and taking care of our customers. Now, I know there are books and books and books of metrics that they put out there, but that's really what gets looked at the end of the day, and that we work within the spirit of working with Caterpillar. Their goals and our goals are tightly aligned.
So here are a few questions about the state of our company. So I'm going to read them all to you first, and then you can address them together. One, Peterson's going to buy us out. We're going to buy out Peterson. We are selling out to Peterson. Peterson plans to buy out Holt of California and Holt Ag Solutions. When is Peterson buying out Holt of California? Quinn is buying us out. Holt Ag Solutions is being bought out. So that's kind of a summary of all those kinds of questions that rolled in. I figured you could address them all together.
A lot of buying and selling going on there. Well, as of right now, none of those things are happening. So I don't know if that will put anybody to believe me or not, but as of right now, none of those things are happening. Now, having said that, we're always looking to expand our Caterpillar service territory. If there was an opportunity with Peterson, with Quinn, or to the east of us, we would be in looking to buy them. And I know those dealerships very well, very good friends with the owners there. And they think the same way, which if there's an opportunity, we're all looking for the opportunity to grow that, our territories, particularly within the Cat world. When I started, there were 72 Caterpillar dealers in North America. Now there's 40, 42, depending on how you count on it. Pretty much all of those, the consolidation of those was because somebody didn't have continuity within their family, or if they did, that person really wasn't that interested in taking it on, or their performance, as we talk about market share, profitability, customer satisfaction, over a lot of years didn't meet what Cat wanted. And so there was an opportunity for someone to go on. So within our little corner of the world, there are high-performing dealers. We're high-performing dealers. And so there's nothing going on that way.
Okay. So there's nothing in the works and no conversations are happening. That's what people want to know.
That's right now. That is very true.
Okay.
But I will tell you, just to make sure that someone doesn't feel like they got blindsided, if there was something going on and we were really serious about it, I wouldn't tell you. There is an appropriate time to make an announcement like that, and there is not an appropriate time to make an announcement like that. But having said that, as soon as it was time, I would be happy to tell you. I'd give you a little story. When Holt Brothers and Tenco merged 24 or 5 years ago, that discussion went on for probably over a year between the two ownership groups about, did it make sense? Did it not make sense? As we got closer to it and we had an agreement between the two companies, we then went to Caterpillar and said, here is what we would like to do, and form Holt of California. Holt Brothers at that time was in the middle of union negotiations and waiting for an answer from Caterpillar. We got the answer that, yes, it looks like a good opportunity, right before we were to finalize the union negotiations. Now, we could have waited a week or two, finished union negotiations, announced it, and then dealt with the aftermath of people feeling like, you should have told us that's not right. We didn't do that. We announced it right in the middle of negotiations, which, if you've never been in union negotiations, you can imagine created quite an uproar with, what does all this mean to us? But it was the right thing to do. So my point is, as we talk about this core value of honesty and integrity and loyalty, we'll tell people as fast as we can when it's appropriate to do that, if something was going on. But to answer your question directly, there is nothing going on right now. Not that I wouldn't want to go by Peterson, by Quinn, and I'm sure they feel the same way about Holt of California, but no, there's nothing right now.
All right. So moving on, we also got a lot of questions about Holt Ag Solutions facilities. So for those of you who don't already know, Holt Ag Solutions used to be the ag division of Holt of California. And in 2012, it branched off to create a new brand that's dedicated to supporting our farmers and ranchers. Since then, Holt Ag Solutions has expanded to a 12-location business. And just a few short years ago, in 2019, Holt Ag Solutions acquired Peterson's ag division in Oregon. At the time, Peterson only had one location in Albany, but in order to better support our customers, in 2020, Holt Ag Solutions opened 4 additional locations in Oregon, in Banks, Madras, Merrill, and Salem. So there's a lot of confusion about the present state of Holt Ag Solutions locations. So I'm going to read you all the questions that came in, and hopefully you can provide an explanation of exactly what is going on with Holt Ag Solutions locations. All right. What is happening with Holt Ag Solutions in Oregon? Straight to the point. Holt Ag Solutions is moving to McMinnville. Holt Ag Solutions in Madras is closing. Holt Ag Solutions is going to be closing the Madras location and opening a new location in a different town in that area. Are we expanding / buying anyone else out of state? Holt Ag Solutions is expanding to Texas. We are opening a physical location in Texas. The ag expansion to Texas is dead. Richvale is being sold, and we're going to get a possible store in the Orland area. So, Ken, put these rumors to rest.
You're going to have to repeat those as we go, because I don't know that I can remember all of that.
Let's jump back to the first one. What's happening with Holt Ag Solutions in Oregon?
Okay, let's see if I can get this right. If not, I'm going to have to call for Eric's help to make sure I got it. We had a store. Well, I'll back up just a second. When we bought this from Peterson, the Peterson people who were in ag came with it, and we had very good depth discussion with the ag, or with Peterson management and AgCo. And the locations we ended up with were the ones that they had determined were the places we need to be to really be successful. So, and Peterson hadn't opened all the stores in there. So we went full speed ahead to go open in those places, Banks, Madras, Albany was already there. And then down in
Merrill and Salem.
And Merrill is where we just jumped into. So we've learned a few things from there. The first one, we did need a place in Salem, or in that general Salem area. So we are leasing a property, or a leasing property. The farmer who we're leasing it from is building a building we're going to lease from him. And last I heard, we actually had footings poured and the floor poured. This is, we thought Oregon was going to be an easier place to build than California. It's not. So it's taken way too long, but that's going up now. So we will have a facility in Salem. That will be an add. The facility in Banks was basically a garage. That gave us the location, had parts there, but it was not an ongoing location. Found a place in McMinnville. So the Banks location will be shut down and we'll move to McMinnville and it will become a full store. People reporting out of there, people going there every day. Banks was just kind of a placeholder place. Just tough to find a location. Madras is moving. So it will be closed down in Madras and move to
Prineville.
Thank you. You know better than I do. So we actually have, I think the lease has been signed in Prineville. The Madras location was an easy out. It was a month-to-month lease. So we feel like we're going to have better access to a bigger labor market in Prineville and still be able to serve that Eastern Oregon just the same. I think that takes care of Oregon for right now. Were there any other ones in Oregon that I missed?
Are McMinnville or Prineville open yet?
McMinnville is being, I was up there about a month and a half ago. We had the facility. They've started moving in. So I couldn't honestly say if it's open for business, but pretty close. And the same with Prineville. It's just, we just now signed the leases. And so we're getting people moved in and all the work that, so if you ask them, yeah, they're probably open for business. Probably not what you'd walk into if you're walking to one of their stores, but we're close.
Okay. Moving on to, are we expanding / buying out anyone else out of state?
If the right opportunity comes along, just like our discussion about cat dealers, we would certainly entertain it, but it has to be the right choice. We're not just going to go buy and grow for growth's sake. So right now there's not, but like anything else, something walks in tomorrow, we'll certainly go explore it.
Can you give a brief explanation of some of the reasons that Peterson the Peterson territory in Oregon was the right decision for us?
We had always been looking to have all of Northern California. So this goes back to legacy products from Caterpillar, and Holt had always been a very active ag player. Peterson in Northern California they sold the Challenger line. Mm-hmm. And they were not nearly as active about it as we were, but it was their line. And so we'd been talking to them for quite a while about, why don't we just take over Northern California? At a certain point, we actually took on the Kloss line from Peterson. When Caterpillar got out of the harvester business with Kloss, we took on the Kloss line. So we had all the harvesters running, but we weren't selling the Challengers. So we'd been talking to them a long time about, you guys really aren't that interested in the ag business, why don't we take it on? When they got into Oregon with the Caterpillar line, they liked the ag business up there. And so they kind of kept it. And we continued to talk about just Northern California. One day we got a call and said, look, we've decided to get out of this business. We're focusing on another truck lines. But if you want Northern California, Oregon's the whole deal. So for us, it was, okay, be careful what you wish for. But then looking at what the opportunity was, it was a little bit like Northern California, the rice country. There's grass seed, so it's Kloss harvesters, big machines, big part consumers. It fit our definition of the kind of equipment we wanted to do in the full line. We were getting a group of people who had been pretty successful in growing the business in Oregon for Peterson. They were all going to be part of this. So you walked right in, you had a facility, had a game plan where it needed to be, and you had people that were ready to execute. So it was a nice fit for us to jump into it.
Awesome. Okay. Whole Ag Solutions is expanding to Texas.
Well, Whole Ag Solutions has sold parts into Texas for a long time. They have some rice country down in Texas, and the parts that we produce that work really well on rice have been sold down there for a long time. The dealer that covered the area down there, something happened with them and Kloss. So Kloss asked us to go help. And our team, always looking for a challenge, said, okay, we'll go down there and help out. And so we've had some guys who spend a fair amount of time in Texas.
Some technicians, that's what you're talking about?
I'm talking about both Bob Gashke, who's our expert on harvesters. Eric Williamson's been down there a fair amount. And then technicians have volunteered to go down there. So they go down, we put a truck down there, they go down, stay in a hotel during harvest and help the customers out. So we've done that for 2 years with, okay, we can help out Kloss. They've been a really good, really good manufacturer for us, good partner. They need some help. We're here to help them out. It'd give us a little chance to evaluate, does something like that make sense? We are not moving to Texas. We are not opening a store in Texas. We've told them we can help you out, but we're not going to end up in Texas with the facility and everything they would expect a dealer to have down there. It's too far. It's too hard to manage. People from California who think that they want to go to Texas when they go and live there, discover the weather and all that great. And so it would be going out way beyond our geographic reach to go start something that for the amount of volume and territory, we're not interested in doing right now.
Okay. So are we still in our trial phase, I guess?
No, we're not in, I would not call it a trial anymore. We're just helping them out right now. And I've told them that, that we're not going to take this on as a territory, but we're going to help them out.
Okay. Next is Richvale offices being sold.
I was just told that we signed up for a post office box for another year. So I'm thinking, no, it's not being sold. This is an interesting, I don't know where this one came from because we feel like that covers that northern area pretty well. Mm-hmm. So not being sold, still operating, trying to build the staff there appropriately. And I think the other question was, we're doing something in Orland. Richvale is staying where it is. And
okay, so that takes care of our whole Ag Solutions locations.
For now.
Stay tuned for the company update. I'm sure that you'll get some on that if you're in the whole Ag Solutions business. Next up, the SciTech facility was also a hot topic for a couple of listeners. Listeners want to know or heard the rumors that SciTech is getting a new facility and potentially SciTech is building a new facility on the Pleasant Grove land.
Those have all been talked about. So there's some legitimacy to that, but they are getting a new facility. We just had our letter of intent accepted by a landlord. They're moving maybe 2-3 blocks from where they are right now. So it's a nicer facility. It's in a nicer neighborhood. They don't have a lot of the issues they have to deal with in the other neighborhood, and it grows the size. So they get the size they need for warehousing and for classroom space. And it's the same landlord, so it makes it easy to get out of the existing lease, move right into this place. So I think, well, I won't predict how long it takes to move, but I would hope in the next few months that move will take place.
Awesome. Okay, so if SciTech is not building a new facility at Pleasant Grove, one listener heard the rumor that a new training facility is being built at Pleasant Grove.
Great idea. We utilize 7518. As a training facility for part of that and look at that as a thing. So no, there's no plans to build a training facility in Pleasant Grove. We're using that as a, I guess, a satellite training area right now. And right now that's the plan. Now that doesn't mean that it hasn't been talked about. We talk about building stuff on Pleasant Grove all the time, but getting talk to actually shovels in the ground is a big leap and no immediate plans for doing that.
All right. Okay, so next up, I just have kind of a collection of some random rumors, so we'll just hit these one by one. First rumor, Pleasant Grove is going to be 2 stories.
Really?
Apparently.
Well, so there could be a hint of truth to that. If you look at the warehouse, I think in our last things we talked about, a single facility for parts building someplace. We want to get the most out of our facilities. So the warehouse at Pleasant Grove, we're probably over the next handful of months, we'll be looking at that with some outside consultants to see how we can go up in space. Now, it won't be building a second story, but it'll have storage that would be considered a second story. So maybe somebody heard that and turned that into building a second story. But otherwise, we're not building a second story in Pleasant Grove right now. We're going to bring in some, the MHD folks are more and more experts at warehouse space, and they work with people who are real experts. We're going to bring them in to talk about it. So the terminology loft, by most of our thinking, is a staircase that goes up to something. It's probably going to be a little different than that, where you go up in storage and you use the right forklifts to be able to get up and down those versus a loft. Mm-hmm. And even at that, I'm not sure that'll work, but we're going to have people who know what the heck they're talking about come look at it to see if there's some space we can get out of that kind of empty air right now.
Awesome. So you just touched on it. The next rumor is we're going to have a central parts warehouse like Amazon.
It's a concept that we've talked about for a lot of years. I don't know whether a central warehouse makes sense, or whether we build a little bigger warehouse at one of our facilities, or whether we maximize the storage in our existing facilities and get a little bit more out of that. The centralized warehouse has some both benefits and some downsides to it, and we're going to have to study it. So there's no decisions being made on any of those. And if somebody who threw the rumor out there has some really great insights on how that would work best, have them give me a call. I'd love to talk to them about how to analyze that and make the most of it.
But what you're saying is that this is an idea that is worth exploring, and we already somewhat are.
We've talked about it. I would say the diving into the exploration of it is we're going to look at how we maximize our warehouses first before we dive into building a whole new warehouse. We've talked about this for years, and any ideas about how to put more clarity to it, we're wide open to listen to.
All right. Okay. Our next question is, Holt pays their employees significantly less than competitors.
That's a pretty bold statement and a broad statement. I would tell you that if you went out to some of our competitors today, and depending on the position and depending on your qualifications, you probably could get more pay than we pay right now. I don't doubt that that can happen. A broad statement like that would tell me that why would anybody work at Holt if that was truly the case? We try to do when someone leaves the company for that, understand what they're leaving for. And sometimes they can find a higher wage job. I don't think all of our competitors all pay more than what Holt pays. We do a lot of wage surveying. We do third party people to look at wages. We talk to other people to find out where we stand. I mean, you have to be competitive at it. The other part about that some people lose sight of is, what are they walking into? We've had a lot of people over the years leave us, and in a couple of years, they're knocking on the door saying, hey, I'd be interested in coming back, or they've moved on to someplace else because that didn't turn out to be what they wanted it to be. So I hope when people make an analysis like that, they look at not only with their wages, but they look at the benefit package, the complete benefit package, and they spend a little time understanding the benefit package. For example, if you're a 25-year-old single person and all you care about is wages and you don't think you have any health issues at all, you're not even thinking about retirement and you don't think that's important and you're going to go for a couple bucks an hour or more, probably not much I can say to you. But if you're looking down the road a little bit and you maybe have a spouse or you have kids, this happens quite often. People go, oh yeah, I'm getting the same healthcare package. They're paying 100%, in fact. And then you dive into a little deeper and you find out, well, they're paying 100% for just you, but not for your family. So do the math on that. And then, are they paying a pension, or are they paying into a 401k? All of those things make a huge difference. And then the other part about that, which people don't always look at, is the stability of the company. Are they doing the kinds of things that are going to keep them around for a long time? Are you looking for a job right now, or are you just looking to make a few more bucks? So that's the bigger picture that I would ask people to look at. But I'm not naive to think that somebody could go out and find a higher wage and, you know, maybe leave just because they're going to get a few bucks more. And we're not successful without our employees being happily engaged with what they do every day. And you have to make a decent living to be engaged with that. Even if you love with what you do and you're doing the thing you've always wanted to do, you have to make a living out of it. So we try to help people make a really good living and get to the point of retirement here. So not only are they making a good living, they're also able to put away so they can retire a really healthy retirement at whenever that time is. Competitive doesn't mean you're the highest all the time, and it doesn't mean you're the lowest all the time. It means you're competitive so people can make a decent living and work here a long time. And I think if you look around, we have a lot of long-term employees. We have a lot of families that their kids, their wives, their spouses, their cousins come work for us. So I think we're doing a pretty good job at that. But I'm never going to say we're perfect, because we're always having to look at that. In the last few years, we took some pretty significant wage increases, given what was going on in inflation and around with the competitiveness that was going on, way out of our normal range to try to keep people here and engaged with our customers.
Our next rumor is we are closing the spec shop in Stockton.
Those guys down in Stockton, I'll have to go talk to them. No, we're not closing the Stockton spec shop. This has been a rumor since, I think, the day we merged, that somehow there's a little rivalry between Pleasant Grove and Stockton and the spec shops. But no, we need the space. We need the capacity that they offer to us, and that's staying the same.
All right. Next up, quarterly new hires are coming back. So can you first start out by telling us what this program is or was?
The quarterly new hire was, we tried to every quarter bring everybody who had been hired in that time frame to a meeting where we had the whole exec group get up and talk about their division. So I kicked it off and talked about core values and our company and strategy, and each division talked about what was going on. It was an opportunity for anybody in any division to meet the whole execs, ask questions, get a sense of it. So in that session, you had people who honestly had just started 2 days ago, all the way to some people who'd been there for, you know, 5 or 6 months. And so you get a good blend of people, and sometimes there'd be some good questions out of it. Obviously COVID ended that, and it became a little bit of a challenge. So we've done a few on Zoom, not nearly as effective, and felt just wasn't getting the message across. They turned into be almost a 3 hour session. 3 hours on Zoom is a real nap maker, so we didn't continue those. So we've been talking about how could we do those. And the challenge really is we have to have a local or a central place to do them. Pulling people from Merced, from Oregon, down here for a half day, we haven't figured out how to do that. So this is one of those ones where, Peyton, you got ideas, marketing, anybody have an idea how to functionally do that better than just a Zoom meeting or trying to pull everybody in for a half day? We'd love to be able to do those again. I think they're really healthy. I think they give a chance that people understand what the whole company is about. And we've had probably a good 4 years where we haven't had one.
Yeah. A Zoom meeting does not sound thrilling to me. As someone who came on post COVID, without this quarterly new hire program, or I don't think that this kind of thing would be effective during the hiring process, in your first few like employee orientation days, because you're getting so much information, you need to be able to digest it.
We're open for ideas of how to do that. When I've gone around and done the company update the last couple of years, I tried to throw in a little bit more of that. Here are all the different divisions and talk a little bit about them. But it's not the same as having that VP get up and talk about their background, their history, and what they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to another program question. So the rumor is that we have a Six Sigma department. So again, can you tell us what that is and then resolve the rumor?
We do have a Six Sigma department. Not as robust as it used to be when we first rolled it out. Gosh, probably going back 18 years ago. Six Sigma is a, for lack of a better term, process improvement program. Six Sigma is a definition of the error within a mean. So the higher you get in the sigmas, the more precise you are in a process. And it's there's green belts, black belts, yellow belts, depending on your level of expertise in the whole thing, and a whole program they go through. started with Caterpillar, they wanted all their dealers and all their vendors to be trained in it. We currently do not have any, we have a number of certified black belts throughout the company who were black belts. That's all they did. They went through the training and then they moved on to other divisions, departments. We don't have anybody as a standalone black belt right now. We are looking at.
What does that mean, a standalone black belt?
That's all they do. They go from, they go help departments, divisions, help improve processes. So
the black belts that we have in the positions went through this kind of.
They were dedicated black belts. So their job was they worked for Kim Lightfoot in strategic services. She oversaw them. They would get projects from the different divisions or across the company, and they'd go on and solve that problem and be dedicated to, as a dedicated resource, to go figure out how to make this work better using a lot of statistical methodology and practices they learned as a black belt. And then after 2-3 years, they'd move into a position around the company. So they have the skills, they have the background. Hopefully they can go solve problems using those skills. The idea of the standalone black belt is that person's a resource that can go out and help other people improve their operations. So I don't think we have an open rec for it, but it's one that's challenged to all the executives to, hey, if you have somebody who thinks would be a good candidate for this, you know, let us know and we'll put somebody in place.
The challenge is just to the executives to bring someone in. If a listener is like, this sounds like a really cool opportunity, this is something that I might be interested in, is that something that they should express to their manager, or is that something that the executives will?
No, I think they should. Oftentimes you don't know someone's interest until they express some interest in it.
Or this is just an example of how these core values play out in our day-to-day lives. This is an example of not just saying, hey, customer loyalty is super important. This is saying, hey, loyalty to Holt and your honesty about your occupation or whatever else you're working on is important to us. And there's a reason that this is our core value. And that reason is to continue functioning as a successful business.
It is. And, you know, getting back to compensation and taking care of people, that's all part of that. And it's a two-way street. We're in this together. And since you didn't get to go through new employee orientation, when I talk about the loyalty aspect of it, it's us being loyal to our customers being loyal to us, us being loyal to our employees, and our employees being loyal to us. And what I'll say is sometimes loyalty means you have to look somebody in the eye and go, you know, I don't think this is working.
Being loyal to them, as in our employees, and them being loyal to us. But it's not really a them and us, I feel like, personally, in this business. It's a each other, the one team kind of idea. There's no them. I mean, I hope that there's not a them and an us.
I love that point. And I totally feel the same way. And I would say most of our execs feel the same way. I don't know that all employees feel that way. Oh, that's management. Oh, that's, you quickly get the designations that are all these little silos and tribes that get joined. From my perspective, yeah, we're all one big company and we deal with each other. But I know some employees feel like it's us and them. And, which is fine. We'll be loyal to them. But from my perspective, you said it very well. We're all in this together, and let's work together to make the best of everything.
All right, let's move on. We are going to start working on other brands of equipment.
We already do. So that must be a earth moving maybe question, because earth moving pretty much is Caterpillar only. The forklift group, they work on a lot of different brands. Engine division works on a lot of brands. The ag guys stick primarily to AGCO and Kloss, a little bit of other brands. So making the big leap that this is an earth moving customer, no, probably not going to get into other types of things. And part of the challenge is we don't have good access to their parts. We don't have the technical stuff we need from them. Now you get into like hydraulics, we might be doing some hydraulic work for things that would be non-CAT, where we could build hoses and do some things that wouldn't require all the things you need to do that we would do for Caterpillar equipment. So if that's where the question came from, we're not looking to get into it, but there may be some little small areas we would, but other divisions do work on a lot of different brands.
Great. Next rumor is we are getting new compact construction equipment territory.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you tell me where?
Hoping you know that, Ken.
No, our compact construction equipment territory is part of our Caterpillar sales and service agreement. Same territory, whether we're selling a D11 or whether we're selling a skid steer. So if we got more territory, it gets back to, our original rumor of take it on Quinn or Peterson or Empire or some other CAT dealer. And that's not happening right now.
All right. And our last random rumor is Stockton is getting remodeled.
That's definitely a rumor. So I'll go through it for the Stockton people who probably asked this question. We bought a piece of ground back in 2006-07 when the economy was booming and didn't look like it was going to stop, and Stockton was completely full. And the cost to remodel Stockton was, just the permits alone, this didn't even get into anything, was $1 million just for permitting. And the Stockton facility, depending on the size of remodel you're doing, it was built back in the day when they really built stuff. Concrete, it's not an easy building to go knock a wall out and do that kind of stuff. So we looked hard at that, and that was the point of moving on. And then this little Great Recession came around, and nothing's happened since then. So we've put some money into, and again, I'm assuming 1521 is what we're talking about, not the 1234 facility. So we've done a little bit of just helping to keep things up and running. There's no plans to do a major remodel. And this is on me. I'll take the full thing. Do we build a place down in the I-5 corridor, or do we keep Stockton and try to put a bunch of money into something that might be hard to move? It's been it really wasn't a discussion for the 10 years after the Great Recession, just because we were fine. Now we probably have to answer that question again. So that's on me to go evaluate, make the sense of what we do next. So we will do small stuff at 1521 to keep it look nice, running effectively, but a major remodel versus moving, that's the discussion that has to go on.
Okay. All right. That's the rest of my random rumors. So Ken, the listeners are curious about what is going on in your career. So a couple of people send in the following questions. Ken is retiring, and Ken is going to retire soon, as in next year. So can you share with us what your plan of succession is?
Well, I can't retire until I get it right, and I'm not even close yet. So that would give me a lot of years to try to get it right. This is another one of those funny ones. So I have to start with a little history. All of the CAT dealers in the U.S. are family-owned businesses. And in the world, most of them are family-owned businesses. We're kind of mid-aged at 90. There are some CAT dealers in the U.S. who are actually older than Caterpillar. They were a Holt Manufacturing or a Best dealer and have stayed on as a Holt, as a family business. So in Caterpillar strategy, they view family businesses as a really good distribution arm. That's what we sell all the product CAT doesn't. So if we want to stay a CAT dealer, family business is a pretty critical aspect of that. The value of that is the planning for it, the capital requirements that you need to buy people out get minimal when you're within the family, and how you manage succession and those types of things. So for us, staying a CAT dealer and a family business is just tied hand to hand. They see that as a really viable thing and work with us to help make that happen. Probably, I think it was 2012-13 at our manager success meeting. So all the managers, I started talking about succession planning. This was when my daughter Kelsey had come into the company, was coming into the company, and Ryan Beatty had been with the company, and knowing now that could create some rumors as to who's going to get what, started talking about succession. And the discussion then was, We have to be thinking about this. We want this company to continue on way past me. And the only way to do that is you start building a succession plan. So that first discussion with all the managers started back 12 years ago, 11 years ago. And every year I've updated that as we've moved on. Kelsey got married, had kids, decided to back out of the day-to-day operations for a while. Ryan's stayed at it. My son came on board a couple of years ago. We collectively as family and shareholders have a plan in place on how to that succession works. So the general plan is that Ryan takes on more and more responsibility, which he's done, and I become more of a mentor and guider to that. Eventually, the goal is Ryan would take on my role and I'd become chairman of the company. So my job at chairman level is to be oversight of how things are going and make sure we got the right things going on a bigger picture. That's the plan. I haven't got any more specific than that. So in all of those discussions, retirement has never been part of my plan. My plan would be maybe less and less day to day and a little more long term and looking at the future, but still involved. And then retirement, 66, probably another 5-7 years. And beyond that, we'll just see how health and everything else goes before we make a final decision on that.
Okay, so I have a wild rumor for you. Have you heard about the rumor that Ryan and Kelsey got in a fist fight?
I have. It wasn't a rumor. I was there. I started it. Said, okay, whoever's going to win this is going to be the winner and take things over. I heard that. It was one of those ones that, for those of you who don't know Ryan and Kelsey, Kelsey's my daughter. Ryan's my, as he would say, my business son. So Ryan's what, 6'2", a couple hundred pounds. Kelsey's about 5'8", far less than that. It would have been an interesting, she might have been a little bit more nimble, but I have no idea how that one got started. But it was definitely a rumor. Oh yeah, we heard that Ryan and Kelsey went out, they got really into it, a fist fight. And we actually all had a glass of wine and cracked up about that one.
So that's not the determining factor on
who gets the, well, it might be. It's a kind of a fun way to see what happens. A little WWE at Holt. No, that is not one of the determining factors.
So that completes the list of rumors that I have. Ken, not to put you on the spot, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our employees to potentially prevent some future rumors?
I don't think there's anything I can say that will prevent future rumors. The only thing I would say is if you really feel like there's something serious or you've heard something that would impact you, our customers, absolutely, you can give me a call, send me an email. If you're concerned about your identity on the hub, there is a employee suggestion box, which can be anything. It can be a question in addition to a suggestion. There's also a button that says about fraud going on, if you recognize any fraud going on. That goes directly to me. And again, it can be anonymous, but it gives me an opportunity to get it. The part that gets to be a challenge with all of those mechanisms we've put in place, or even me going around, sometimes you don't know who to answer. And if you're anonymous and you don't say anything about how to get information back to you, I will try to answer the question as best we can, or the execs will try to answer it best we can. But it's hard to answer a question if you're not sure who asked, or sometimes it's not an appropriate thing to give to the whole company. So we need a little bit of it. So it's the feedback part that's the challenge. I'm wide open for questions, but as soon as it's anonymous, as soon as it's not clear where I need to go back, it's hard to get the answer back out to people. So again, I'm open for ideas on how we can effectively do that and answer it. But all of those do get addressed, and I cover them with the exec group, and we try to put our heads together and say how best to address this. So those are the best ways to bring something up if you really think you have an issue to talk about. You've covered them pretty darn well. I do not have any other ones that I've heard floating around that I probably should address.
We, the people of Holt of California, Holt family of companies, did come up with some pretty good ones.
Yes, you did. I congratulate you on that. It's kind of fun. Awesome. Hopefully I've answered in a manner that will put some of these to rest, or it may create more as they go. Well, what did he really mean by that? And then let the creativity begin.
Let the creativity begin. Okay, so a little tidbit before we close this episode. The employee survey is still open, so please take some time to complete that. Real change is affected by these surveys. Responses are addressed by the managers, and changes are made to improve the employee experience and our company as a whole. This very podcast was actually a result of the employee survey. So thank you so much, Ken, for coming on the show today. And an even bigger thanks to our listeners for submitting rumors for our 20th episode. This podcast would not be possible without the brilliant minds of our employees, from topic ideas to submissions to being guests on the show. Thank you so, so much. Until next time, remember to keep building, keep growing, and keep listening to CORE. We'll see you next time.